Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. And do you hear that? Silence.
It's crazy, right?
Silence!
It is so silent that you can actually wait for the sirens to come.
Yeah. Exciting times here at our apartment, but the most exciting thing is that we announced in Billboard last week that we are putting out our debut album, Teddy Bear Fresh, on May 26th. That's only a few weeks away. A
couple weeks away, yeah.
It's We The Best, O-U-I-T-H-E-B-E-S-T, and Empire, who is behind Big Baby Drum and Fat Joe and Remy Ma and Anderson .Paak and a whole bunch of people. And we are so thrilled to finally be putting this project out. Who are some of the features on there?
We have Currency and Smoke Diz on a song called Sugar High.
Because that is our drug of choice.
We have a song called V-Neck with Bun B.
Because our crew is so deep.
We have Blue Cross Blue Shield with Jazz Cartier.
Where we vow to stay independent until we die, unless the label gives us health insurance.
Fire in a Crowded Room, Get the Hose with Michael Christmas. We have a song called Waco.
Because everything is so lit.
We have a song called Girl Your Ass is Like a Metaphor.
Self-explanatory.
And that's with Tunji Ige.
That's right.
We have Angie Martinez, we have Combat Jack, we have Sway, Scott Rogowski, Just Blaze.
It's a lot of people on here. It's a great project. We are super proud of it. And the first music video that we put out was called Dave Matthews Bands. We did a lyric video for Fire in a Crowded Room, Get the Hose, featuring Michael Christmas. And now, this past week, we debuted the video for Waco. And I was really happy that we put out the video because I'm very proud of it. Shout out to Rex Arrow for directing it, just like he directs all of our videos. But there was another reason that I was excited to put this video out, and you know what that was, Jeff?
Is that because we had to do it twice?
It is because we had to shoot the video twice. Super Bowl Sunday, we shot the music video up in Westchester, 15-hour, 16-hour day, something like that. A lot of prep work that was put into it. Ian, our director, flies across the country
to where he lives,
comes back from vacation, and he finds that his car has been broken into and the footage has been stolen. So someone out there, someone in California, has a bunch of cards with all of our footage from the original shoot on it. So we were put in a position where I was like, well, what are we going to do? And we decided to shoot it again. And it ended up being like Groundhog Day because there's a lot of props that we had to get. We had to secure the same facility. We had to make the same drive and do the same 15, 16-hour day, this time on Selection Sunday. And truth be told, the video came out even better than the first time. It's really awesome. You guys should go to youtube.com/itsthereal. Check it out right now. If you want to stream the song, it's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. And it's also on soundcloud.com/itsthereal. But first, the most important thing is that you guys go over to iTunes and place your order.
Your pre-order.
Teddy Bear Fresh, It's the Real. It's on iTunes. Pre-order it. May 26th, it comes out. So, Jeff, we stopped by Premium Pete's one-year podcast anniversary, and we were so happy for him. It was great to see him and Miss Lissa, and the Loudspeakers Network was fully there. Dallas Penn was there. Just Blaze was there. And we have a lot of crossover listeners with Premium Pete, and it was so awesome to meet a lot of people from New York, from out of town. Some flew in for this. And one of the things that I love about meeting our listeners in real life is how loyal they are. These are people who have been rocking with us, some of them, a lot of them, for going on 10 years now. And that we've switched lanes and we've gone to do sketches and interviews and music and TV and podcast, all that, and they still hang around. They still appreciate what we bring to the table. It's you listeners out there who we made this album for. We know that you guys operate on a higher level. We know that you guys get the inside jokes, you speak our language, and we speak yours, and it's you guys who we really hope will go to iTunes right now and get the pre-order in, and let's keep surprising people. Teddy Bear Fresh, pre-order available on iTunes right now.
You know, I'm so happy that people have been listening to the Johnny Nunez podcast from last week.
Great podcast.
Great podcast, and really, like, I'm glad that it also came together because we just ended up driving him back from Jersey City from Just Blaze's new ramen spot.
Yeah.
But his stories are so crazy. There's so many overlooked moments in that podcast, like when he runs into Petey Pablo and Britney Spears, like when he, you know, goes to Prince's house. Like, there's just, he's lived a crazy life.
It's crazy. You know, he had done interviews in the past, but nothing like this. And
no.
You could tell the genuine surprise, by the way, that we had when we heard the Prince thing. Like, it was like, oh, yeah, you're joking.
Well, he just said he was in Minnesota, and I said that he must have run into Prince or something.
And he was like, yeah. And it was just like, what? And beyond that, I like how you guys are leaving word on Johnny's Instagram page and letting him know that he did such a great job. He hit me up today and was just like blown away by all of the amazing comments, all the people coming up to him and saying what a great episode it was. A lot of people actually said it was their favorite episode, and we've done 118 of these, so to be at the very top, that says something. Shout out to Johnny Nunez, and if you haven't heard it yet, you can always go back to the SoundCloud because podcasts are forever.
Podcasts are forever. So who do we have on the podcast this week?
We have our friend Jenna Luckman in town from Miami. We were really happy to get her on the podcast, and while we knew a lot of stuff about her life, there were things that we had no idea, and man, there's some really funny stories and some really crazy stories in here. When do you want to get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Maverick and Goose, a.k.a. Top Shottas.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Pretzels Like My Wrist, a.k.a. Rose Gold.
Yo, what up? It's Jenna, a.k.a. I forgot.
Yeah, this is waste time, but this is the real. Ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra.
Sorry.
Jenna, what's
blew
happening?
Blew it already. What are
How are you?
I'm great, and I'm so excited to be here. This is like my dream to be on the pod.
So we were talking before about how Interscope years ago sent us 100 French Montana Don't Panic masks, and you said...
I thought I invented that, so I may have, and I need to, like, look at my history in my phone, but I got one of those, like, face masks sent to me from Sephora that looks like, it's like the white mask that covers your whole face, and one day, I uploaded a video on, like, Snapchat, I guess, at the time, or whatever it was, and it was me, like, doing Don't Panic. This is way before the video. All I have to say is a few people from, like, Complex saw it, and next thing I know, like, a few weeks later, there's a video out with... No, there's a video out with them wearing the exact same mask, doing the same thing. I thought I invented it, so I'm gonna hold myself to that.
What is the weirdest, like, comment someone has made when you didn't think that they watched, like, something you've done?
What, like, a creep?
Yeah, Instagram or, like, or Snapchat. They just came up to you and were just like, hey... How about this? And you're like, you watch this stuff?
I've probably subtweeted things a few times, and I didn't think the person even had a Twitter. Like, I've live tweeted on dates before, like, thinking, nobody has Twitter except for me. And then they'll go and, like it the next day, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Do you know ahead of time that they have, like...
Usually, I'll scope it out. If I'm going to, like, subtweet or, like, make fun of somebody in a nice way, it's never mean-spirited, but I'll usually check it out. This is going to sound weird, but I can, like, meet someone and sort of know if they have a Twitter.
What a talent.
Yeah, I know.
How do you know that somebody doesn't have a Twitter?
If they're cool, I feel like if they're young, I don't know. I just, like, I get a vibe. Because a lot of people, we all know each other from Twitter. So, yeah. Like, there's a certain, you know, vibe or a certain scene associated with that. And so if I haven't seen them already, I feel like... They're not there. I've been an OG, like, Twitter person for a long time. Twitter over Instagram, Twitter over everything for me.
Do you think Twitter's not cool?
I think Twitter's the coolest, actually, because I think, listen, on Instagram, you can be a pretty face and get a million likes, and you could take a picture of something trendy or whatever, and it's so shallow. But to be somebody on Twitter with your words representing you and people liking you for that, that to me is way cooler because it's creative and it's... Like, you don't see what I look like. Like, my Twitter picture right now is me covering my face because I don't know. Yeah. I think it's more authentic.
And you were on Twitter really early.
Yeah, really early. So when I was in college, I went to University of Miami and I guess I was like a freshman or a sophomore. I was a PR major, and one of my teachers said, download this app called Twitter. It's status updates. Like, you know, on Facebook, how you can put your status of Jen. Remember, it would be like Jenna Luckman is.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah,
like, you'd write whatever. So that's what I thought Twitter was. But I got it for this class, and I started using it probably when I was about 20. And, yeah, it was like 8 years ago. So I've kind of been on it forever, and it's my favorite platform, because I think if somebody thinks I'm funny but they don't know what I look like, they don't know where I'm from, they don't know what I do, like, that's the biggest compliment to me, because it's more authentic. I get likes on my Instagram pictures because, like, I'm a girl. So, right. You know what I mean? And to me, I'm like, whatever, you're just liking my picture because, like, my boobs look big. But, like, on Twitter, like, you don't know that my boobs are big, so.
Right. I like your tweets because I think that your boobs may or may not be. They could be any size.
Right, exactly. So,
have you gotten dates off of Twitter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially do you go on all beginning. Dates on
Twitter? It should be said that Jenna has the best dating stories, I think. Yeah. Or also the best Tinder experience.
That's right.
Well, there's a hashtag you can search called hashtag Jenna's Tinder experience, and you guys are its biggest fans.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
It started a couple of years. So let me, like, full disclosure about dating apps. I have one dating app that I use, and I haven't been on it in
months. Are you endorsed?
Months. No.
Seems like a sponsorship.
No, I know. I should be. I'm not really even sure how I got on this app, because you have to have, like, references and know people, and it's all famous people, which accounts for most of my hilarious dating stories. Because of who these people are. And so I think I snuck on somehow, or, like, know somebody that, like, that works there or something. But my friends would always say to me, stop dating, like, celebrities and, you know, D-list actors and fake athletes. Like, try to meet somebody normal. Download, like, Tinder or Bumble. So right. I was like, okay. I live right now in Delray Beach, which is about an hour north from Miami.
Oh, that's the rehab capital of the world.
Yes, it is. And we're very proud of that fact. Since it's the rehab capital of the world, the quality of humans on Tinder are next level, let me tell you.
Oh, my God.
And so one day I decided to appease my friends, and I was like, I will download Tinder. Like, there, I don't even think there was Bumble, or I don't even know what other apps exist.
How did not?
Yo, I was like a 10 on Hot or Not. I, no lie, that was like a big thing for me. I wonder if they still, do they still have it? We might have to look this up.
I bet you would kill on Hot or Not now. You'd be the only one on there.
I'd be the only one on there. Yeah. It's not a thing.
You'd be such a hot.
Should I put that on, like, as my, like, bio on Twitter? Like, hotornot.com/Jenna Lockman?
Right, yeah. Respect my words, including, I'm a 10 on Hot.
Please rate me hot.
So I downloaded, this had to have been 2 or 3 years ago, I think, right? And I downloaded Tinder, and the quality of people, especially Florida, we get a lot of, like, dudes holding up a fish, or like something that they've shot and killed, flexing in the mirror, or holding their junk, or like whatever. And so
it's just Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah. Yes, and so
everyone's putting their
oddly
best self
went
forward.
To dinner with him once.
Sorry, what?
Yes.
Okay, we're gonna have to get into
it. Or it might have been Eric. I'm not sure which one. Well, which they're one? The same to me.
Right. They're certainly not.
They're not, right?
No.
I mean, they're both horrible.
I was gonna say, is one worse than the other?
I think that Eric Trump is the worst one.
Like,
because
he's the one that makes fun of SNL the most.
Yeah, he's the one that they say, like, that's what he sounds like.
The guy on SNL who plays him looks just like him. Did you ever notice that?
What a bummer.
Yeah, I know. I always feel bad for him. I had my boyfriend in college, his dad was a big art collector and, I guess, big Republican. And one day we all went to dinner.
Oh, like, my God.
Someplace in Miami. Yeah. But anyway, so I download Tinder, and it's all these guys that are, like, in my area that are – listen, there's a very big difference between Miami and where I live in Delray. It's just totally opposite. It's Boca, so it's a lot different. And I just kept getting the craziest people ever. Like, I couldn't make that stuff up. And so I screenshot everything. I didn't talk to one person.
Right.
I was on it for maybe 2 days. And I was like, I want to make this a social experiment, because nobody's going to believe me when I tell them, like, I can't get a date off Tinder. Like, I can't. Like, there's not one single person.
You didn't
person.
Swipe left for any of them.
Not one person. Except I think maybe when I was first figuring out how it worked, I did it by accident. And, like, I, like, double tapped, or I did something where I got one match. And the guy wrote to me, I think I have it saved somewhere, the conversation. He was like, you. And I was like, me what? And he's like, you hot. And I was like, very, like, I'm like, what? And, like, the whole thing was super weird. I could probably find the conversation. But so I screenshot the ones that were just, I'm sorry, these people were asking for it, because your main profile picture is not you in an, like, in underwear holding a Pringles can next to your penis. Like, you clearly want people to see that.
One of the guys was named Andy. He was 23. I wish I could break every chair in the world so that way you would have to sit on my face.
Yeah, so you can search this hashtag, and it was only a period of a couple days, but I got gems.
Wait, is it too late for you to date Andy? Andy 23?
I don't know. He's a little young.
There's someone named Jesse who is 28, 49 miles away. Would you have traveled to go see a guy who said, be the change you wish to see in the world and is in a hot tub with his parents?
That was my favorite. It was a selfie of this guy, and he was in a hot tub, and his, like, old parents are behind him. And I was like, this is insane.
It's a hot tub for four.
Yeah,
there's a guy whose name is Ooh.
Yeah, Ooh. Way before, though. Like, just that was his name.
I mean, it's amazing. Jenna's Tinder experience, that's on Twitter. And real people. Have you run into any of them?
No, there was one guy, though, from Tinder that somebody had told me if you put your Instagram bio in your profile on Tinder, like, you'll get a lot of followers. And so I put it, I guess I had put it in. And listen, I literally was only on for like 2 days, you can right. see. And so some guy was like a pilot, and he would message me every single day and like pissed off that I wouldn't meet up with him. Like, I got a few like angry people. No, luckily nobody like that was on there was following me on Twitter or anything right. like that. They didn't seem like a Twitter crowd. But one guy who he would wear like a yarmulke but also had a crazy mohawk, like crazy mohawk. I posted him and someone wrote like, oh yeah, that's my buddy or like something like that. But and so then I start to feel bad and I'm like, all right, I'm not going to do this anymore because it is making fun of these people. But
they say, also it's hilarious.
It's so such good content.
Everyone yeah. always says that Miami's a really small town. Like,
we okay, so
but how is Boca and the surrounding areas
similar?
Yeah,
it's similar.
It's
so
Jewish,
but it's also but so yeah, but also I feel like the normal-ish people that I would know wouldn't be on Tinder. They'd probably be on like Bumble or like a different app. So right. I wasn't running into anybody that I knew ever on,
right.
on Tinder. So that's why it can remain funny. And then about. About like 6 months ago, this same friend that I promised that I would like try to meet a normal person, like not a magician, like not an athlete, like not, yeah, like a normal person. I downloaded Bumble. The first person I got was a kid I had a huge crush on in high school, which Whoa. Was really funny. And then we actually like reconnected and became friends. But
how many chairs did he break?
Five. No, I think, I don't know. I don't even, we like start talking again as like friends, but that was it. And then this is really embarrassing because he found my, and we can look this up. He found my LiveJournal because he told me that he always remembered me because I remember when LiveJournal was like a thing.
Sure, yeah.
I was a freshman in high school and I used to LiveJournal about him, how I thought he was so cute and I would like run up to him in the hallways and touch his butt and run away.
And
like,
he found it.
He found it.
I wonder what he searched.
I don't know, but my sister found it the other day, too. It's like Star J60 or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you guys can find it later. It's, like, really amazing. So
can you repurpose any of that live journaling for, like...
I did. I put some of it on Twitter. I don't think anybody really appreciated it, but maybe
you were
you
very
will.
Ahead of your time, you know?
No, I really was. Yeah. I was really into the internet.
So you grew up
in Boca.
Yeah.
And
you have a couple
What's
of sisters.
Like growing up, first of all, in a place called Rat's Mouth.
I know. It's weird. I think about that quite often.
Yeah, like not like the prettiest name.
No. Did you know that it was weird growing up?
We didn't really think about it. I don't know. I remember like we took Spanish class since like preschool, and I remember that was like one of the first things we learned. And I was like, that's odd. There's a reason why, and it's because when like Christopher Columbus came and found Boca, mm-hmm. he realized that on the map the way that it's shaped, like the outline of the city, looks like a rat's mouth, which. I don't know how it differentiates from another species mouth. Like, mm-hmm. why couldn't it have been, like, cheetah's mouth?
Yeah.
Like, a cool, like, tiger's mouth. Like, a cool animal, but we got the rat.
What was growing up in Boca Raton like? Like, because it's, for us, it's like, it's a vacation place for, right. like, you know.
I guess I figure, yeah, like, a lot of people come and their grandparents live there. Obviously.
So is it, like, mostly seasonal, or is it, like.
Yes, it's a very seasonal. It's not like the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. People do live there year-round mm-hmm. that aren't serial killers. Boca's a big city, like it really truly is, and I'm like surprised about how much it's growing. It's a lot of like New York transplants for the mm-hmm. most part, like that's right. you know where my parents are from, and so it's a lot of people who want just like better weather and probably cheaper houses, and you know they were sick of getting in trouble with the government in New York and going to jail, so they
and so they went
here.
To
yeah.
that Florida where there is no yeah, government,
right? So so they moved down here, and it was a mix. So, like, I went to two different high schools. Growing up, I went to a private school my whole life, and it was very sheltered. There was, like, eight kids in my whole class. I'm not kidding. For, like, 10 years. And so I knew I was sheltered, and I was a dancer. And mm-hmm. a lot of the girls that I used to dance with, and we'd all, we traveled, we competed and all across the country. And I was like 8 years old doing this.
Whoa.
And so that like is kind of what exposed me to, oh, there's another world outside of like this small town, like where I live. And they all went to public school, and my mom would like be disgusted by the fact that I wanted to go to public school. She's like, why? We give you such a good education.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, no, but like, it was weird. I remember like, this is a funny story, but, growing up, we'd go to, we'd have to compete for dance a lot in Orlando, which mm-hmm. is like the hub sort of for a lot of big dance competitions. And we would do shows at Disney mm-hmm. and like on the stages of Disney, we did all the parades and everything. And like the moms were such dance moms. Like they were so competitive. Like they were, there's that show Dance Moms now. And that's yeah. really like yeah. how it was. Like these parents, first of all, they're like 700-pound obese women that are like, like fighting for their anorexic child to be the star dancer in this show in Disney. And so it's really competitive. This is their way out of Dodge for oh a lot God. Of these people. And so my mom, for like the first 10 years I danced, like called it gymnastics. She like didn't know what I did, like didn't care, and like thought it was a fun game I played. And meanwhile, I'm like winning money as like an 8-year-old dancing, Damn. Competing, and just like doing all this stuff. And so,
to what music?
I did like jazz, hip hop, everything, but it's very, my teacher was very 80s. Yeah. So it was a lot of like 80s music. And
do you ever hear a song now and just
and,
sort of
oh,
like,
yeah.
yeah.
And I remember dance.
Sit up straight.
Oh, I remember all of my dances, which is so weird. My mom is always like, because we watch Dancing with the Stars now, and she's always like, how do they remember all these dances? And I think about that too, but it's almost like you hear a song and you remember the words. It's kind of the same thing. Like,
so if you're at a club and a song comes on,
I'll
you immediately.
Do the dance. Oh. I will do the dance. Like, yeah.
I will get in the cage and I will do the dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I embarrass a lot of people. So.
Mostly just yourself.
Do you clear yeah, out the dance floor and oh, just like
yeah.
own it? Yeah,
yeah. yeah. Oh, that's I don't care. I literally don't care. So anyway, like we'd be going to Orlando for dance competitions and all these different places. And I remember. It would be a big group of us that were traveling, and we would have to stay at a hotel. So a lot of times we would stay at like the crappy Disney hotel that was like, you know, $49 a night and had the free buffet. And like my mom would like refuse to stay at these. And I didn't know the difference between like who had money and who didn't, like what different classes of people were. Like all I knew is like, that's not fair. That girl got it like a stuffed animal. My mom would never buy me that. And like that girl's mom lets her drink soda and eat candy. And my mom never lets me do that. Like candy for me, she calls like apples like the nature's candy, and like, you know, just like whatever. And so she would stay at like the Ritz and like places like that, and I'd be so embarrassed because yeah. I'm like, I want to stay with my friends at the Disney hotel, like right. they have like a slide at the pool. And like I didn't get it at the time that like it was a gross place to stay, and she just was like, I don't get any of this, like we're gonna go to stay at the Four Seasons in Disney. But so yeah, that was like a weird experience growing up. And then so after high school, I begged my parents to let me go to public school because I knew I was missing out on a lot. And I knew that I wanted to experience, like, more of the world. So we this might get me in trouble, but we faked an address, and we lived in Delray, and it wasn't the border of
right.
of the high school I wanted to go to. And so we opened a phone line in a friend of mine's house and, like, Whoa. Said that I lived there. My mom the whole time is so nervous that we're going to get caught.
Sure.
So, like,
what, for, like, years?
Yeah. And so my first year, my freshman year of high school, was like the most fun I've ever had, because I went from being in a class with like 8 kids to there was 1,500 in my grade.
Oh my God.
And it was so overcrowded that kids were sitting on the floor. There was like fights constantly going on. Like it was just crazy. I was
well, how many fights were there in the 8-person class?
None. Literally. It was so weird. And let me tell you, those people have turned out real weird. Like real weird.
How many cherries
they're all married.
Oh, really?
Like to each other. Like oh. it's real weird.
Are you Facebook friends with all of them?
Yes, of course. Wow. Of course. And like my mom is still friends with their parents, and I'll be like, so and so got married this weekend. I'm like, that's nice. They're really weird.
Yeah.
And
well,
so like
the good thing is that your mom only has to do it like 5 times.
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah. Like, there weren't that many of
us. So you go to a new high school, you get mm-hmm. to redefine who you are.
Totally. And yeah. so I was like, I loved it. I was like, this is my opportunity to be whoever I want and
right.
like, whatever. And I was really
You're
social.
Like, I'm a terrible dancer.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I stopped dancing, actually, yeah. because I was like being rebellious. Honestly, at that point, I was burnt out, and like we'd go to the same competitions year after year. We'd get the same prizes. Like it just like wasn't. And I was getting older, to be honest. Like when you get to a certain age in dance, like you're not, you can't jump as high, and you can't do certain things.
Right,
so.
14 is too old for a dancer.
It,
right,
I'm not kidding. It.
So
really,
they'll just like put you down like an injured horse.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're 9, you're at your prime. So it's weird.
That's
yeah.
a good rhyme, by the way.
Yeah, nine, you're in your prime.
Yeah, yeah. It might get people in trouble.
Were you ever on ESPN?
Yes.
Oh,
my
God.
I was on ESPN. There was a few competitions on, you know, that they do the, like, cheerleading competitions, but there were a few dance competitions we did on ESPN.
And did you win?
Yeah, I think we did win the one that was
on ESPN. Oh, my God. But Jenna's so over, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
But, like, we wanted, like, the big trophy, but it wasn't.
We keep it in the closet at home, yeah.
No, I have a whole, my mom has a whole storage unit with, like, all this stuff.
Holy cow.
Yeah, there's a lot. She still thinks I did gymnastics.
We've had a few people from Florida on the podcast who broke the news to us that as seniors...
You can eat alligator?
No, yeah, yeah. As seniors...
That's my go-to deep line. Hey, did you know in Florida you can eat alligator?
As seniors, you get to go to Disney World.
You guys don't do that?
No, but no. I mean, where are we supposed to go? But,
true.
But,
I don't know, Six Flags?
But Disney World is so... I mean, we did skip and go to, like, the amusement park and everything. But, like, Disney World's Disney World. Like,
it's
that's,
a big thing,
that's,
yeah.
That's something that you go to for us on vacation as kids.
Yeah.
This is, like, for all intents purposes, in your backyard.
Well, and I was there every weekend for dance, so it kind of lost, like, the magic for me. Full disclosure, I've not been to Disney in probably 10 years, just because I was, like, so sick of it.
Yeah.
What are you doing tomorrow?
But all the kids go there and, like, you know, some are, like, rolling on, like, you know, Molly or, like...
Yeah, we weren't... I was not like that, like,
right.
In high school.
But
now you are. Do. Yeah,
but,
now I
but you get, go but you, sober. But regardless, you get run of the park.
Yeah, they shut it down. So it's a nighttime thing. It's called, like, grad night, I think.
Oh, my God.
And every school, basically, in Florida, like, has their own night where after 10 p.m., they shut down the park for, you know, regular guests and... High schools pour in, so there's like hundreds of high schools that go. I remember we saw like The Fray perform and Good Charlotte, and like they do a bubble.
It was
pit.
So 2003.
Yeah, it totally was. So it was fun, but we weren't like drinking or anything.
Right,
like that.
Right,
I don't
know.
I was pretty good in high school. Yeah, just, like, you know, it's like after college is when I went south. So I hit my prime a little later, but
public school was something you enjoyed.
I did. My first year I went there, I loved it, but it was also like I could tell like this is not how you're supposed to get an education. Like people couldn't. Like, people were getting arrested in school, and, like, I don't know. There was one funny story my friends will tell you, and I don't think – I think it was my junior year that the cops were called on me. No, I didn't do anything wrong. This is a really weird story, and nobody will believe me to this day, so I'm putting it in writing or in voice.
Yeah, podcasts are forever.
I was driving to school one day, and this creep was driving next to me with his windows down, like, jerking off and looking at me and, like, making kissy faces and followed me to school the whole time with his penis out, just jerking off. So I got to school, and I was freaked out. Like, I, like, took a different route, and I'm, like, 17. Like, I didn't know what to do. I was 16. I kept, like, driving different ways, and this guy was following me. Finally, I lost him, and I got to school, and I kind of, like, didn't tell anyone except for my friends, and they're dying of laughter. They're like, you're such a liar, like, that did not happen to you, like, no guy was jerking off to you while driving. And I was, swear to God, like, this happened to me. And one of my friends thought it was funny to tell one of our teachers. The teacher called the police. Oh. And they came and, like, pulled me out of school. I had to write, like, a whole report about, so now to this day it's like the, like, a running joke that, like, some guy was jerking
sexually
off to
assaulted
Jenna.
You
yeah and I, they ripped me out of my classes to, like, and I'm laughing, like, so hard. They're like, this is serious. And I was like, yeah, but it's also a little funny. And the guy came back, like, a couple weeks later and did the same thing again.
Really?
Yeah. And this time, like, I called the police and they got him.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
Who yeah. was he? Was he your teacher?
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of one of the teachers, which was weird.
He would have gotten away with it, too.
But only, like, that yeah, kind of stuff.
Come quicker.
Yeah, only that kind of stuff would happen to me, like, in school. But so I went to my freshman year, I did public school, and immediately, like, I was, like, failing math, which I would fail math anywhere I was, so it didn't matter. But my mom immediately, like, ripped me out, and you know what she did? She tricked me. She said, we really want your little, I have a younger, two younger sisters, and they're like, we really want your sister to go to St. Andrew's private school in Boca, but she's only in seventh grade, and they won't let her, like, tour the school, so can you pretend that you're interested in the school? Like, do a good job in the interview, like, it's for your sister. So, of course, I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do it for my sister. And little did I know, they were putting me in that school.
Oh my God.
And so they, like, tricked me into going to private school after that.
Where the class seemingly was a little bigger than the 8-person class.
We had 100 people in the grade, yeah.
Are any of those people
all
your...
married? Yep.
No, but are any of those people your friends to this day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was a good school.
How was your prom, your high school prom?
So when I turned 16, I wanted to, like, be rebellious, and I was in LA for the summer and had my parents'
credit
card.
Did you, like, run away?
No. I did a program at UCLA, and
that's not really rebellious.
No, not at all. I took musical theater and weightlifting, though, so it didn't really do anything for me. And I had my parents' credit card, and I, like, bought a bunch of stuff at the Gucci store in Rodeo and, like, told my parents that I wasn't going to go back to the private school because I wanted to be rebellious. I missed, like, I was, like, on the dance team, and there was pep rallies, and, like, there's just, like, all these clubs and stuff at public school that my private school didn't have, and I think I was just, like, being an asshole. And so I knew that as a 16-year-old I could, like, legally drop out of school and re-enroll myself in public school. So that's what I did, and... Like, my mom didn't talk to me for, like, a year. She was real pissed.
You went back to that same public school. Mm-hmm. Were they like, where were you, Jenna?
Yeah, like, they're like, you disappeared for a full year. I was like, yeah, I was working stuff out. But I went back, and they had now separated that school because it was so overcrowded at that point that they ended up opening West Boca High School. So all the, like, fun kids that, like, weren't, like, the jappy kids that lived right in the center of Boca, like, the ones that lived out west that were just, like, hilarious and, like, whatever, they all got... you know, transferred to this new school. So school was not as fun anymore. It was like these annoying, jappy, like just nerdy kids that they wouldn't make me laugh in school. So I immediately was like, Mom, can I go back to private school? And she's like, you made your bed. You're going to lay in it. You are done. Like, this is it. We're not doing this anymore. So.
By the way, you know how, like, on the street, you don't know, but, like, in New York, there will be all these, like, roving bands of Jews, and they'll, like, make
yeah, they always get my dad, like, will you pray with us?
Right,
yeah,
right,
he
right.
He always falls for it.
I had my hood up this morning, it's raining, and they still were, like, trying to, like,
really?
Chase me down the block. No, they didn't stop me, I'm an adult. You can't
stop me. Feel bad?
No, I don't feel bad.
No.
But they were like, excuse me, are you Jewish? And I was like, I'm not. Like, I just kept going.
Like, I don't lie to them. I just
do
like,
you?
Because yeah.
I lie all the time.
Do
no.
you?
No.
Yeah. You're like, no, I'm not. Yeah. I renounce my bat mitzvah.
Yeah. Oh, wait. What was your bat mitzvah theme?
I had my bat mitzvah 2 years ago on the top of Masada in Israel.
Did you really?
I didn't have a bat mitzvah like a regular.
You had a rebar mitzvah?
Have a regular one because I was dancing. So I wasn't able to. My parents were like, do you want to keep dancing and like go, you know, around the country and do this? Or do you want to stop doing
do you
what you
sit
love?
In
Hebrew
school? Right,
in
right,
Hebrew
right,
school.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
All my friends hated it.
Terrible,
hell
right.
no. Yeah. Like, I get to like go to Disney every weekend. Like, screw that. So
but
I didn't
then
have
you
a
could have been a real like Jewish American princess. Like, you know.
I know.
Come in like on like a float or whatever.
But they do. Yeah, you can do it in multiples of 13. So you did it a couple of years ago.
No,
yeah,
you can do it whenever.
Yeah, you can do it whenever.
No, but I thought it was you have to do it in multiples of 13.
I don't think so.
I'm just making this up.
Yeah.
But I guess I was like 26.
Yeah.
I went on Birthright and they're like, who wants to have a bat mitzvah if they haven't had one? There was like 5 people on my trip, and so they made me do a speech at the top. And I told everybody, like, don't record it. And of course, my friends like record the whole thing. So I have it on video. My mom like cries to it sometimes.
Oh
like,
my God.
It's really fun. They were very proud.
Have you made up to your mom for going back and forth out of every school in Florida?
I think so. I think she's over it at this point. I hope.
So your prom was good?
Yeah. I went to prom junior year and senior year because I had some friends that were older.
Much older? 47?
How did you know? No, they were one grade older. Like I was friends with the boys, like 1 year older, some of the girls too. And so I think I went with some girl's boyfriend. We recently made up because she's married now and doesn't care. But, and then I went my senior year. I had a boyfriend senior year and, it's funny, actually. He's like the last person you'd ever expect me to date. And he's really nice, which is the last
person you'd ever expect me to date. Did he have a mohawk and wear a
yarmulke? No, he was like this nice, like, he was from like Peru and quiet kid with like 7 brothers and just not what you would expect. I definitely took his virginity, which is so weird. And I happened to, so we broke up when we went to college because he went to Florida State. He went to University of Florida, and I went my first year. I went to Florida State before I went to UM.
Oh.
Rival schools.
Sure,
we didn't see each other that often.
Did you break up because it was a rivalry?
Yeah,
no,
not
I
allowed
didn't
to
care.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't want to drive 3 hours to see him. To be honest, I didn't care. So it's a running theme in my life.
Yeah.
But so we broke up. We tried to see each other a couple times, and it didn't really work out. Anyway, I think that one of the reasons I ended things with him was because I thought he had a gambling addiction and he would lie to me like, and when we were like 18, lie to me about like where he was, and he'd be like at a casino all night doing poker, like playing poker, and he'd always bet with his friends, and I was like,
again,
was
it was
really,
2003.
Yeah, he was a really smart kid, and I was just like, you're making really dumb decisions.
Right.
Well, turns out like a couple years ago, front page of the newspaper, he had just won $1 million. He's a professional poker player.
You
and,
fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, my mom was like, Jenna! What are you doing? And I actually, so one of my best friends is Jen Selter, she's she's on Instagram, you know, a fitness model, and she was doing an event at the Hard Rock in Fort Lauderdale a couple of years ago, and so I went, and you know, we're like decked out and whatever, and they're like feeding us champagne, and I ran into him, and he just gave me this look like, what has happened to you, like, that you are here in an Hervé Léger dress and Louboutins and like drinking champagne with Instagram models, like I had more hope for you, and I was like, good luck with your $1 million
with your,
like,
problem.
Yeah, I was like, guess it's not really a problem, it's worked out. Yeah, so he's doing well.
Oh my god. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, no,
so
I'm happy for him.
When you graduated high school, did you know that you wanted to stay in state, or did you look to go like elsewhere?
I knew that I had like very big aspirations for myself always, so I knew that I wanted to go to school in a big city, and unfortunately because
Tallahassee
because I was so social and like not really focused on school, I had limited options, and so I thought I
how many times did you take the SAT?
Once.
How many times did you take your driver's test?
Once.
Oh, nice.
Got a perfect score.
Nice.
But I took my driver's...
No big deal.
My permit, the written test, I failed like 4 times, which is really embarrassing.
Do you know what you did wrong?
Isn't that just like, what kind of sign is this? And it's like, you know...
Yeah. Like bare again, left. I don't know how to study for tests, but throw me into it and
what's
I'll
the
perform.
Octagon that's red?
Yeah. I'm like, what's an octagon? I think it's a square. So... Yeah, that was weird. But no, I did well on my, you know, my testing, and I did moderately well in school. But I like was the captain of every team, started all these clubs. Like I thought my extracurriculars would really like help me out.
There is something to be said about that.
Yeah,
and, like, seemingly.
Yeah. I juggled a lot of things and I worked full time. Like I did a lot.
Where were you working?
Listen, Jenna, we get it.
Where were you working?
I was a superstar. Intermix, actually, where I worked for 7 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I started out as an assistant there, and then I worked my way up to stylist. I worked up here for a number of years in the Hamptons, opened some stores in Palm Beach. So that is like another day of a podcast, the different like
what did
people.
You steal from Intermix?
Nothing. Well, actually nothing. It was very easy to steal from Intermix. They didn't have cameras and they didn't really censor things, so but we would get people who
what
would
trusting
run in
people.
Grab shit and like run out, and
really,
so when I got mugged in New York after that, I was like, listen, if you guys don't have a panic button in these stores, like I'm gonna have a full-blown panic attack if somebody comes in and robs us again.
Should have worn that mask that don't panic.
I know. And so they just kept getting robbed. But I worked in South Beach, and when I went to, so after 1 year of FSU, like, and people telling me like, well, you're a Jew, where's your horns, like I've never met a Jewish person before. Wow. Like I was
2003,
like,
that's when Borat came out.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. And so I decided, like, I thought I was going to get into UM, like, University of Miami. I thought, easy. My dad went there for law school. I did some summer programs there. Like, my grades might not be the best, but I have an in, and I didn't get in. I got, like, waitlisted. So I transferred after 1 year. And so I worked for Intermix in South Beach, and it was – my favorite day was to work on Sundays because Live on Sunday would happen. And so rappers would fly in from Atlanta every Sunday. And I knew all of the rappers, and I knew, like, they would bring different girls every single time. And, like, I remember one time 50 Cent, like, not 50 Cent, Flo Rida, like, threatening to kill me because I was, like, put his girl in an outfit that I put the last girl in or something. And, like, I was just, like, messing with him. Like, he was not having it. But I knew I was going to make a lot of money on those days. They always paid, like, straight cash. Wow. And, you know, 90% of the time they ended up inviting me out with them to go to Live on Sundays. So that's, like, how I met a lot of people.
Well, who else did you see? Just, like, Wayne and...
Yeah, and it was also, like... It didn't have to be rappers. There was a lot of, like, wealthy people that would fly in to, like, just to go to Live on Sunday or go on a yacht on Sunday. And I would have consistent clients who there was this one guy that I had all the time. And he was at Live every – he had his own table at Live every single week. And he'd always wear, like, a bow tie or something. Really cheesy, this
was
guy.
Was it Tucker Carlson?
No. But he he would bring different girls – and always in pairs. And these girls were like 14, and it would break my heart. And we would have to have the security shut down the store when he would come in, because he would like sit in the back and the girls would sit on his lap and like make out. And there'd be like kids in the store. And I'm like, this is not okay.
He'd
always want the girls to be in something see-through. These girls were like, I was like, are you being drugged? Like, do you need like, like wink twice if you need it out? Like, it was like so weird. But
holy
like, I got
shit.
To know him and he'd come in all the time. And like, yeah, it was a very odd experience.
Were Saturdays boring?
Saturdays were like people would – so the store was on Collins. The next street over is like Ocean. And so on Ocean, Ocean's one of the few streets, like, in America that you can drink with an open container. Hmm. It was, like, super crazy loud parties, like, you know, Senior Frogs is there and all the slushy places. So people would come in really drunk and, like, try on really expensive dresses and be really sweaty and, like, spill things on. Or they'd have their dog and the dog would pee on the clothes. And, like, it was just kind of a nightmare. Yeah. Saturdays were hit or miss. But I had some crazy experiences. I mean, that's how I met all of, like, the Heat players at one point because
they were at Senior Frogs.
Yeah, obviously.
Their dogs peed on all the shit.
Yeah, and we made them pay for it. No, I have weird Miami Heat stories, like, you know, before LeBron and Wade left, about them coming in with girls and then, like, secretly, like, as we're checking out, like, getting the girls that worked there's number and just, like, it was – there was weird times. Yeah. Weird times. Yeah. And this was all before social media, so I always – and so we would go to dinners, like, every night with the whole Heat, and, like, we'd go out with them, and we would joke that – we were cool before there was any social media for anyone to believe us, because there wasn't, like, Snapchat. I wasn't, like, Snapchatting with, like, Dwayne Wade, like,
right.
Because there wasn't anything. Right. So I remember when he, like, followed me and tweeted to me or something on Twitter, I got a lot of followers and people were like, how do you know him? And I'm like,
That's a weird part of Twitter, the sort of aspirational, like, follows.
And then I got, like, I remember, you know, I don't know if this still exists, but remember that you could put people in Twitter on groups.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I remember I was like, D Wade confirmed groupies, like, in, like, a bunch of, like, Miami Heat.
Oh, it was confirmed.
Side hoes. Like, yeah. I was in all of these, like, groups. Yeah. It was,
that's
like,
awesome.
I have a question. What was it like being in a car with a lot of NBA players? Because that feels like it'd be very cramped.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I'm sure that's happened a lot of time. They always have to take SUVs. One of my favorite things to ask NBA players is, do you have to buy special beds that are longer? And yes, they actually do. Mm-hmm. And there are certain hotels that when they travel, they stay in because they know that the beds are, like, extra long.
Mm-hmm.
See, people tune into our podcast for, like, exclusives, that's and right. I think that we just got
the exclusive. I think you got it. Yeah. Like, this is extra long beds.
This is the Hip Hop DX headline.
You got mugged in New York?
Yeah, real bad.
What happened?
Real good.
Yeah.
I had just permanently moved here, not like a summer fling. I had moved here after I graduated, and I moved into an apartment in Gramercy. And this was like...
Oh, there's your first mistake.
Well, this was like my first apartment that I was like paying for on my own. Like, my parents weren't really helping me out. And it was the first one that I didn't have a doorman. And so my parents were like, are you sure it's okay? I'm like, yeah. Nobody has a doorman, like, unless you're rich. So I'm looking at you guys. So it was fine. It was in Gramercy. It was on 20th. Like, it was in a totally fine area.
Yeah.
And...
That's like the, like, you know, like 6 years into your first job sort of place.
Yeah. And it was. And I had two roommates that my cousin actually had worked with at Bloomberg. Like, they were a couple and they were totally normal. They were a little older than me. And they would kind of look out for me. Like, if I didn't come home, like, they would text me to make sure I was okay, whatever. And so one day after work, I left Intermix and I walked to at the time, my boyfriend's apartment, like, I don't know, 10 blocks away. We got in a big fight. I, like, had his shirt on or something. And I'm on the phone walking down the street, like, and there's a million people on First Ave. Like, it was a Friday night or a Thursday night. You know, there's a ton of restaurants around there, and they're just packed.
Right.
And so, you know, you don't think anything of it. And I happened to, like, turn onto my street on 20th, still on the phone, like, carrying my purse. And I noticed that this girl was kind of following me for the last two blocks, but when I turned, she stayed on one side of the street and I stayed on the other. And so I walked up to my door and I was about to take my key out, and I remembered something that my mom always told me, which was, if somebody is behind you and they're trying to get into your building, let them go first, because you don't know if they're going into, like, rob the building or whatever. You don't know if they live there.
Yeah.
So I sort of, like, I'm on the phone, I sort of step aside, I kind of turn around, and next thing I know, like, bam, in my face, a gun is, like, bashing my face in. And there was a marble wall against where I, like, against the door. And she's just, like, literally, like, beating my face. And I didn't really feel any, all I remember thinking was, like, this is how I'm going to die. Like, my parents are going to find out. This is a Law and Order episode. And my parents are going to find out I died by getting mugged on the street in Manhattan. Like, they're going to find my body. Like, I can't do this. Like, this is not how I'm supposed to die. And I had a brand new iPhone at the time, and I figured the girl probably like wanted my iPhone. She saw me like walking with it, and so she had a black hoodie. Actually, I'm dressed just like her today, which dawned on me as I was walking here. I'm like, I'm dressed like my attacker.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she had a hoodie on, so you couldn't really, and the thing was like, you know, tied up, so you couldn't really see her face. And after she hit me about 7 times, she put the gun to my head, and I tried to hide my purse behind my back so she didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still on the phone, by the way. My phone is in my hands, and my friend was on the phone with me. She was on her way to a doctor's appointment in Long Island. She said all I was screaming was just like, no, no. Because I was like, what was I saying? Like, stop?
Yeah. She's
like, no, you were saying no, which is kind of scary. And she kept trying to call 911. They'd connect her to Long Island 911. It would, like, took her a while for them to say. She thought someone was waiting for me in my apartment. Because I told her, I'm like, I'm walking into my building. So she thought I had opened my door and someone was in here. And so the girl put the gun to my head and said, I have a gun. I'll fucking kill you. Give me your purse. So I gave her my purse, and she continued to beat my head into this, like, marble wall until I was unconscious. And so a few minutes later, I, like, regained consciousness, and I didn't feel pain. I just was like, wow, that gun is heavy. Like, I didn't expect a gun to be that heavy. And
you were outside your building?
Outside my building. It was, like, it was still light out. It was, like, about this kind of time. Oh, no, maybe it was dark. Now that I think about it, it was, like, 9. And I saw her running down the avenue. She was, like, all the way at the end of the avenue and, like, first. And I was, like, I don't know what provoked me. I took off my shoes and I chased her. I honestly,
well, just like adrenaline. Yeah.
Yeah, pure adrenaline. First of all, I had no idea my head was cracked open until like later. And so I'm chasing this girl down the street and I'm screaming for everybody, like, please help me. Like, this girl just attacked me. Like, she has my purse. Like, she's my phone. She's everything. Somebody call 911. And I saw my neighbors like kind of looking out and like going back into their apartments because, like, I guess, you know, you don't. But I didn't, I mean, I'm covered in blood, but I didn't look like I was, like, sketchy or anything. I just come from work. So, eventually, nobody was stopping. I stopped some random guy on the street, and I grabbed his phone out of his hand. I'm like, I'm calling 911. Like, I just got attacked. And he took, like, one look at me, and he's like, oh, my God. And so, I called 911, and I'm like, I'm watching this girl with my stuff, like, run down 14th and 1st. Like, you have to get her. You have to get her. She has my phone. She has my purse. She has my wallet. She has everything. There's jewelry in my bag. And the guy looks at me and he's just like, your head is cracked open. Like, you need to go to the hospital right now. So I'm like in and out of consciousness. Some people were nice enough. They carried me over. The police precinct was like on my street. So I went over there, and I, at that point I had kind of settled. My adrenaline's still going where I'm like, call my friend. She probably thinks I'm dead. Call my parents. Like, tell them what happened. And they're like, ma'am, you need to sit down. Like, you have a head wound. And I remember like kind of putting, and I was like, oh shit. Like, I'm covered in blood at this point. And they put me in an ambulance, but your adrenaline's still going. And I did feel the pain at this point because like I was kind of slowing down. And in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, they said to me, since you have regained consciousness, we think we caught this person who did this to you. Can you make an identification? And I was like, okay. 14th Street is blocked off. Like, there are just police everywhere. The whole street is blocked off. They have this girl in handcuffs, but she wasn't wearing a black hoodie. She was wearing a white t-shirt, but she had blood all over her. And I was like, to be honest, like, she knocked me unconscious. I don't really remember which. Like, I wasn't staring at her trying to get an ID. Like,
right.
You know, I had like compromised brain activity. So I was like, that could be her. Did you find my purse? And they're like, listen, when she heard the cops coming, she's going to ditch your stuff. Like, she's going to throw it in a trash can. Like, she didn't. And the whole time when I was chasing her, I was like, she's probably going to turn around and shoot me. Like, she had a gun. She's probably going to turn around and shoot me. And I don't know why I didn't care. I was like, you don't take my iPhone. Like, I will find you. So I got to the hospital, and the like social worker was like, this is so crazy. But the girl we stopped had your purse with the gun inside the purse. The phone was still connected to your friend, and she was covered in your blood. And so she confessed. And
wow.
So she ended up, once I got out of the hospital, I had to go to court, and my prosecutor, they never told me like her name or anything like that. And so I'm in front
of Iggy Azalea.
Well, I'm in front of the grand jury, and they're like, the prosecutor standing like far away, and I'm like, I said to them, if she's in court, like, I'm so traumatized by this whole thing, I'm not going. And she wasn't in court. She was in Rikers by this point, and she copped a plea deal. There was bullets in the gun, but she, instead of like 14 years, got like 6 or something. And So the prosecutor looks at me, and the first thing he says is, can you please explain to us what Princess did to you? And I burst out laughing. I'm like, her name? I got attacked by a girl named Princess? You've got to be kidding me. And he's giving me this look like, Charlie, shut up. And I just, like, I lost it. I'm like, I can't even believe it. So, yeah, that happened. And she was in Rikers for a while. And actually, a year ago, I'm, like, in a victim's advocate program, like, by coincidence, because you have to be. And I actually ended up having to move out of my building because I was so scared that, like, they didn't think some little white girl was going to chase her. And, like, we didn't know if it was gang-affiliated. And there used to be people that would, like, I accidentally called the police on, like, a housekeeper once because I didn't know, like, who it was, like, banging on the door. And I was just scared of everything.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask.
The police used to walk me to work every day and, like, for a while. And eventually I was just too scared because it was actually – you could Google the case and it would come up online. Yeah, and so – if she had any family members that, like, wanted to know what happened, they now know where I live. And so I was scared, and I eventually moved out. But
how'd your parents take the news?
Well, I think I may have gone home for, like, a night or two. I pretended it didn't happen, though. Like, I didn't tell any of my friends. Like, I continued working. Like, I just pretended, like, this whole thing didn't happen to me. But I couldn't have somebody even, like, run past me or make a loud noise without, like, feeling this, like, panic. And so it took me a while to kind of get over it. I mean, I had to move home. But now I'm fine. I definitely am more aware of, like, my surroundings.
Yeah.
But, Holy shit. Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
And now...
I felt like a real New Yorker.
Well, but now
you... My mom was like, oh my God, I'm like three times. But, I was like, okay.
You're like, ha ha ha.
But now you come back to New York and...
I'm totally fine. Yeah. I don't really go down that street.
Sure.
But, right. Yeah, I'm fine. Holy shit. I don't think that anything's gonna happen.
Hey guys, we just want to take a second out and throw to this week's sponsor.
Today's episode of A Waste of Time is brought to you by the new Spotify original podcast, Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty.
Hosted by Reggie Osei, a.k.a. Combat Jack, co-founder of the Loudspeakers Network, Mogul tells the story of the music executive who changed hip-hop and shaped the careers of some of his most beloved artists like LL Cool J, Missy Elliott, 50 Cent, Nas, Diddy, and so many more.
With one of the most illustrious careers in music, Chris Lighty rose to the pinnacle of musical success before an untimely end.
This story is more than just music, it's the story of the American dream.
Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty is a Spotify original podcast produced by Gimlet Media and the Loudspeakers Network.
Follow and listen to Mogul every week exclusively on Spotify. Once you catch up on the Mogul podcast, check out the playlist inspired by the show only on Spotify. And now back to A Waste of Time with It's the Real and Jenna Luckman.
Can you tell us what being a post-college graduate in Miami is like living down there?
Yeah, it's weird because Miami's a very transient place. It's similar to LA, but it's smaller. So you notice the comings and goings of people. And for the first few years after college, it was fine because, you know, a lot of people stick around where they went to college. You know, for a few years, they get jobs and whatever. So it was fine. And I was, like, riding the wave of, like, partying. And I was still young and, you know, could do that. But now I just feel really old. I mean, we don't go to, like, the nightclubs and stuff that we used to go to, and I don't, like, party like I did. But
did you go to King of Diamonds on Monday?
I did sometimes. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, we were fans of strip clubs. But I oddly would, like, feel at peace at strip clubs, like, at least my life isn't this bad, like, which is so horrible.
Did you know any of those girls?
No, I didn't. That would have been funny though.
Did you ever eat at strip clubs?
Oh, yeah. What do you mean? 11 has the best food. And I got to know them so well that there's a restaurant on the rooftop of that strip club, and they would bring my food down into the nightclub, and I'd, like, feed the strippers. Like, I'm like, I don't have cash, but I got pizza.
So you were known in, like, all the clubs.
Oh, yeah. But I also, like, did that on purpose. Like, so when I was in college, all the kids would go, like, the college kids would go to college bars. And I thought that was gross. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't, like, really that much of a drinker, which is weird because, like, I am now. But depression sets in. I knew that I wanted a career, and I knew that I was in school for PR, and that I wanted to, like, either do something in nightlife or music or something in that realm. And so every time I would go out, I'd make sure, first of all, like, I was well-connected through, like, work and things like that. I would always talk to everybody, and I'd go out in South Beach instead of, like, the Grove or all the college bars were. And I made sure that anytime I went to a nightclub or restaurant, I introduced myself to the owner and the manager, the bartenders, the door guy, the valet people, just so that I was like, listen, in a few years I'm graduating and I want to do
PR. And I'm
going
to be fucking famous. Yeah. Follow me back.
You're going to see me on a reality show later, so I might need you to let me use your venue. But yeah, I, like, made friends with everyone, so, like, now they'll bring me pizza in a strip club, so that's pretty much worth it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you killed at your high school reunion. school reunions.
I don't think that's happening yet. I think it's this year.
This year, yeah.
Oh my god!
I secretly like went on Facebook and looked to see, and there's a group, and I.
But you can go to like.
At no, least, I'm not going.
You can go to at least three high school reunions this year. So.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I actually would go to my circuit. Private school one. Yeah, and I'm gonna do like a little stand up at each one. No, but if I had something really going for me at this point, I would definitely go. But they would be like, "What are you doing?" And they're all like doctors and lawyers, and I'm like, "Oh, I live."
No, I gotta be. I gotta be really honest. I didn't go to mine partially because I didn't feel like spending like a ton of money to be with people that like I didn't want to be with.
You didn't even like them.
But also,
how do you explain what you do? Right.
But also, like. If I was popping like I am now,
right.
That would have been like great. Like Jeff did it right. Jeff hit it just the right time. Right?
Yeah.
Like
tenure?
Ten years.
Yeah, that's mine this year. And so I didn't invent Post-its, which is like I wish I had thought of, you know.
Right, Romeo that. And Michelle.
Yeah. And I've like made up a slew of things. I used to tell people I was like a semi-professional stand-up comedian when I would meet them. And like there's like little funny things I could do. But now the craziest part is I had actually deleted Facebook for a while. Probably like 4 years after college because I was like dating this rapper and I would get people like sending me crazy messages because they'd be like, oh my god, we saw you on this, whatever. And now it's the same thing, like, oh, we saw you with this athlete on Page Six, and like it's people I haven't talked to in so many years, and it's awkward, like,
right.
I didn't like you then and now I especially don't care, but right. Like I feel bad, and I'm always that person that feels bad, so I always write back. But, like, now a lot of people think they're my friend or my intern, so...
you really should have, like...
I've looped myself accidentally into a lot of friendships that I didn't mean to.
Including this one. So thank you so much for coming over.
By the way, imagine you did get married to the poker player, and then, like, you brought him back to your... To your high school reunion?
That would be so weird, but no, a lot of...
Do you think he would wear sunglasses?
Oh, it's his high school reunion, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We're in the same grade. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they knew
us. Oh, you're going to see him there again.
I know.
Oh, it's going to be very, very awkward.
I'm thinking about rekindling with the guy whose butt I used to touch and talk about on my, live journal. Mm-hmm.
These are all great ideas.
Yeah.
Jenna's, like, you know, reunion experience.
Man, imagine. Some people get lucky at their reunions.
And some people get Luckman.
Yeah!
So... You do PR and you do marketing, and that's your expertise, but you do have this life where people think that you are just your internet self.
Yeah.
So how do you balance the two?
I've contemplating deleting a lot of my social media. I actually went through and deleted.
Would you tell your clients that? Like,
no.
Here's what I suggest. Well, you delete all of your
and it's weird. It's online this footprint. Weird small like line between me hating social media because people have a certain assumption of like who I am and what I do, and like people really don't believe me when I'll announce I'm going to be on a TV show coming up, and he had seen my social media profiles and thought I was like this really cool, fun, like party animal. And I was like, I literally stay at home on Saturdays and watch murder shows. Like, I have a weird fascination with murder. Like, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not cool. I'm a nerd. Like, I, and you know, when girls like put on glass and they're like, look, I'm a nerd. And I'm like, oh my God. But like, I really truly am. Like, I'm a comedy nerd, and like, I would rather stay at home and like watch basketball with my dad. That's just like who I am now. And maybe that's not who I was a few years ago, but I feel like I disappoint people when I meet them in real life because like I've had people be like, oh, you're way more photogenic than you are good looking in like real life. And like, that's fine. That's whatever. Like, weird that people say that, but
are they negging you?
Yeah. No. They're dead serious. Like, I've had a lot of people.
No, but I mean, like, you're like, that's
a little
dating
like,
thing.
Dig.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, I know. It's usually like bitter guys that I like won't date and be like, well, you're better looking online than you are in person. But it's fine. Like, yeah.
What's the end game with that? Like, what are they? You're like, oh, no, you know what? You're right. And yeah. Actually,
that's
let's go out on that.
Actually,
date.
What yeah. I say, I'm like, yeah, no, you're right. It's fine. Like, I know that it's...
That's so fucked.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's better to be good, like, a catfish or... Speaking of catfish, did you guys know that I was almost on Catfish?
No.
Do you know about all the fake profiles of me? There's, like, a lot of fake Jennas out there.
Really?
What are the names?
Jenna?
No. Her name is...
Princess?
No. That would be great. Her name was...
She literally stole your identity.
Imagine. You know, I looked her up on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you Facebook friends with her?
No, but imagine
how
if I friended her. No, she's not on Facebook. I think it's like part of her probation, probably. Yeah. But
that is one of the new like catfish ideas, by the way. Finding somebody who like you have problems with online, but you had problems with Princess in real life. So this would be like a whole other thing.
That actually would be a good catfish.
Oh yeah, because the catfish thing is to like
to
have a
them.
Real life sort of
confrontation with somebody that you have like problems with online.
I actually watched Catfish today, but
In 2017?
Yeah, I know. How retro. Weird. Yeah. I know. How retro. What was I saying?
That you've been catfished. Like, that okay, people so have used your profile.
Yeah, so people use... So I found this out about 2 years ago. I got a random message on Facebook from someone in, like, Paraguay or something who hardly spoke English but basically said to me, is this you? Because this person's been using your photos. And I clicked on a link and it was a profile. They had like 4 times the amount of followers that the real Jenna had. And they used all my photos from different platforms. Like things that I probably uploaded, I'm not kidding, like on MySpace or tweeted one time or like selfies from my photo booth on my computer. And
so what do you think you were doing wrong?
Yeah, does it bum you out that like that they, the fake Jenna better had Jenna?
More followers? Yeah. Oh yeah, and the
I don't call them fake Jenna. I call them better Jenna.
Better Jenna, Spanish Jenna. So the comments were just like insane. There was hundreds of comments. They were all dudes, like in Spanish. I didn't know what a single one of them meant. And the name
Boca Raton.
Yeah. It was like they pretended that I like they had a whole thing set up like where I worked and who I was friends with and like they would steal my friends' photos. Like it was really crazy. And so I was really freaked out when this first happened and I got the profile shut down. The name was Fiorella Meyer or like Fio Meyer, different variations of this name. Mm-hmm. And that happened and I thought, okay, that's it. Like it's over. I got them shut down relatively quickly and that's it. Well, they obviously blocked me, but sometimes I'd go on accounts for work and I would like be like, I wonder what Fio Meyer's up to. And so I would find like 5 more profiles, thousands of followers, all of my pictures. Like it was so weird. They kept getting, and it's still 2 years later to this day, I find Fio Meyer all the time. Found another one last week.
That's
I get
insane.
Them shut down and they come back up. They do fake Facebooks. They do Instagrams. Yeah. It's really weird. So I happened to email Catfish. Well, okay. I matched with Neve from Catfish on a dating app. Let me be honest.
Jenna's Tinder experience.
Yeah, ended with that. And I was like, is this a catfish or is this? Like, this is the ultimate, like, weird
right, right.
thing that I just matched with the catfish guy.
And what'd you think? Were you like, I'm going
to
definitely...
No, I didn't talk to him.
Oh, okay.
No, I really didn't match with him. It was, yeah. So, and then one day I was, like, so fed up that I actually emailed Catfish. I'm like, there are so many accounts with my... Can we... opposite catfish them, like, can I go on and meet the person that's been using my pictures and be like, gotcha?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, can we make fake guy profiles to message Spanish Jenna and
better Jenna
and like just be like, yeah, let's meet up, and then it's me that shows up on the date and they're like, oh shit, like
Theo.
So I wanted it to be this whole like soap opera, but I didn't follow through with it because I kept getting the profiles taken down, but they still keep happening.
That's so crazy.
Me and Neve I don't think a match anymore. Oh. So yeah.
He's probably out of like the radius. No. He has a baby. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations to Neve.
Yeah. And yeah. Fio.
And
she's killing it.
Did you so
Fio should go to my high school reunion.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like a Saddam Hussein, like you should have a whole bunch of like body doubles.
Yeah.
So Jeff and I went to South by Southwest this year for the first time. We
really?
Have,
the first time?
First time.
Jealous?
We went to Bonnaroo.
So many underground rappers I haven't dated
We've been to Bonnaroo. We've never been to Coachella. And you've been to Coachella.
I did.
What is Coachella like? And
wait, I like
is it
Jenna's
worth going?
Reaction. Jenna goes,
Where is this going?
No, just is it worth going? Is it over? Was it ever fun?
I went 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So Coachella just happened, and then there was 1 year before that, and then the year before that. I'm not good with numbers.
Mm-hmm. That's math. 3.
You failed math.
Feels like 3.
Yeah. So I went, and I was living in Miami at the time, and I had to do it. Like, I was like, this is the next step in my evolution of a shitty person. So I somehow got, like, scammed into these tickets that this girl – I had a friend who was like, I'll handle everything. I have a ton of friends out in LA. She was younger than me. It was a friend. And she was like, I got this covered. Just, like, Venmo me the money and I'll get us VIP tickets. Like, you don't want to go to a festival, like, general admission.
Wait, what was your note on Venmo? Was it, like, you know, for, you know.
It's probably, like, party. Yeah. I don't know. It was a cactus, I think. So it was a side braid.
Yeah.
An Indian headdress. So
Native American. Cultural appropriation.
I know. So she was like, yeah, I'll handle it. So she's like, I know this girl out there. She's from Miami. She's selling 2 VIP tickets. Like, I'll handle it. So the girl ended up being like a stage 5 clinger and like what like invited herself with us to go to Coachella, and then when we were like, nah, like we don't know you, we just want the tickets.
Yeah.
Like, you're not staying where we're staying because we don't know you. She like held the tickets hostage, was like, I'm not telling you where I am, and like had all of our money, and I like freaked out, and eventually we like ended up getting the tickets, and
I bet she has good Tinder stories.
The girl found us at Coachella a few times and was like, I don't understand why you guys won't hang out with me. I really don't get it. Like, it was like,
you're
wild.
Like, this is why.
Yeah,
this
I was like, why. Are you my intern? So anyway, we get there, and immediately I have a friend who drives us out. He's like tour manager for a bunch of artists, and he immediately hooks us up with artist passes. So I'm like, all right, dope. And my friend was supposed to handle like where we were staying. I knew nothing about Coachella, like mm-hmm. literally nothing. And so I didn't realize you literally are in the middle of a desert. It's not like you can, and this was also 3 years ago, Uber wasn't like a huge thing yet, so they weren't readily available. You couldn't just call an Uber to the middle of the desert and get a ride anywhere. Like,
right,
it was,
right.
There was like a line to even try to get an Uber. It was really crazy. And
so what do you do?
Well, so at the time, like, I was really sick, and I shouldn't have gone. And I knew I was sick, again, pretending it wasn't happening, and I wanted to feel normal, so I go to Coachella, and on our way out there, the people whose house we were supposed to be staying in stop answering my friend. And I'm like, what are we going to do? This isn't, like, we can't get a hotel. Like, it's not. So I, like, luckily had some friends that were throwing a party with the Kardashians, and they let us stay in their house. Really weird, I know. And
you kept up.
Hardly, but I kept up. And we got to stay in that house, but I also had to stay like in a twin bunk bed with four other people. It was very weird. And
wait, so that means that they're
me and Kylie got real close. No, well,
they didn't have a bigger bed for the NBA
players.
Yeah,
I was gonna say. No,
there were no NBA players at this event. But it was really, it was so weird. The whole experience was really weird. But by the end,
was it videotaped for their show? Or do they have camera people like following them all the time?
Yeah, it was like right. You're not gonna remember this because she's had lots of moments. But Kylie wore this like all black like fishnet catfish outfit, and Tyga was there, and like it was the first time that people were like speculating about plastic surgery rumors and stuff. And like my friend who was setting up the party, actually I was staying with today. He's the one that like took that picture, and it's like always like that's what I always think of, but. They were fine. They were nice. Like, I don't know, whatever. But so what would happen is I'd go to the festival, and by like 9, 10, 11 o'clock, like I'm not feeling well. Like my body is like kind of shutting down, and I couldn't just get in a car and leave. And my friend I was with was a little younger, and she was like, you're a party pooper. And I just felt so bad like leaving the party early. Like I didn't go to any after parties or do anything cool. I also went the second weekend, which is notably like the poor person weekend, because they're like it's way cheaper to go because there's no parties. Like first weekend is all parties. People don't go to the festival. The second weekend, people go to the festival, but there's no parties. I wanted to go to the festival. Like I was excited about some of the music, which now I can't tell you one person that played. But so clearly it was memorable. But I really didn't feel well, and I kept trying to like leave, and it just wasn't working. And so it was pretty miserable. So this is funny. The last day of the festival, I take thyroid medicine every day, and I had put all of my medicine like in a specific pill bottle. Like I travel with like pills because I have to take them every single day. I had accidentally so I'll preface this by saying we go to the festival and I'm like all of a sudden feeling really weird. I'm like, I need to lay down. So my friend had driven us there and I'm like, do you mind if I like lay down in your car for a little? I don't really feel well. Like this is so weird. I pass out in his car and I wake up and we're back in LA. I had apparently eaten Taco Bell on the way. I don't remember any of this. And he dropped me off at like where I was staying and was like, are you okay? I'm like, I think so. And I was like supposed to help my friend move that day and I felt like I was underwater. Turns out my thyroid medicine looked exactly like Ambien. So I was on an Ambien the last day of Coachella.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was miserable. And I didn't know, so I'm trying to fight through it. I helped my friend move on an Ambien.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So needless to say, I didn't really feel a need to go back to Coachella. Yeah. I just felt a little bit trapped, and it's very overwhelming. There's tons of, like, especially the first weekend, too, there's, like, tons of parties and influencers and blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, you kind of get lost in the sauce. Like, you're mm-hmm, not yeah. really anyone cool. Like, when I do stuff in Miami, it's a small place. I've been there forever, especially in here, too. Like, you know, I know my way around. I know my people. But there, it's, like, I don't know. It just...
Yeah, you're not Kendall Jenner. You're not even better Jenna, to be honest.
I'm not even Kendall Jenner.
Oh, hello.
Can we talk about your cancer?
Yeah.
You're a cancer survivor.
Two times over.
How did you find out?
I knew for actually like a while, and my doctor like didn't believe me. Basically, what happened was I was in college. I was like 21, and my asshole boyfriend at the time was like, you have a bigger Adam's apple than me. And I was like, that's not nice, but I do. And so I went to the doctor and I was like, what's up with this? And he's like, no, some girls just like have an enlarged neck. It's fine. And every year I kept going back to the doctor. I'm like, listen, it's getting bigger. But I had no symptoms. I wasn't like overweight or underweight. Right. I didn't have any.
Are you the type of person who's going to go online and like figure it out yourself?
At that point, like, not really, but yeah.
Most like WebMD and
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, I do WebMD a lot of things. You're not supposed to. Right. A lot of times they've told me throughout this whole process, like, don't look this up online. It's going to look way worse than it is.
Right.
A lot of times it was exactly what I expected, but, so I kept going back to my doctor every year and saying, like, this lump is getting bigger and I feel fine, so I don't know what's going on. I didn't even know what a thyroid was. I didn't know, like, I didn't know any of this. I had no
That's
idea.
That's that private schooling, you know?
I know, I know. So sheltered. They didn't teach us anatomy. I literally, like, didn't know about the birds and the bees until I was, like, 16.
When you took that
kid's
virginity.
When I had sex. Yeah, like, I figured it out. So...
do you
like,
want,
not
do you
kidding.
Want, do you want us to explain it to you now?
No. Yeah, yeah.
So it was like really weird. So anyway, I kept going back to the doctor, and then eventually, I would look at pictures of like, you know, friends and I, and normal, 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 and then they'd get to me, and it was like I had this like alien in my throat. Like it was so noticeable in photos. And so finally, I went back to the doctor. I'm like, listen, I know this is like called your thyroid. I'm like, I don't know what it does, and I feel fine. I had a ton of energy, like tons. I used to be able to go out till 6 a.m. and then go to class by 8. Like I was fine. And I'm like, please.
Did your parents know that?
No, sorry, Mom. So I went to the doctor and I was like, listen, do a test on my thyroid. I know you don't think it's anything, but just like give me peace of mind. So he does a test, he takes blood, and he's like, no, your thyroid's functioning fine, like, you're totally fine. I'm like, all right, cool, like, whatever, I just have a fat neck. And so, born this way. So I went to my annual, like, gyno appointment a few months later, and he takes one look at me, and he's like, what the hell is wrong with your neck? I'm like, I know, I thought it was my thyroid. I was like, but the doctor
said— Who are
you,
my boyfriend?
Yeah. I'm like, it's so mean. Everybody's making fun of me. It's a double chin. So he was like, I said, I'm like, well, my doctor did a blood test. He said my thyroid functions fine. And he was like, no, Jenna, every doctor knows you might have a functioning, like your thyroid might be healthy, but you have a tumor on top of it. And he's like, you need to go to the hospital right now. And I'm like, what? So go to the hospital, and they're literally like jamming this needle, like doing a biopsy into my neck. It was like more painful than anything I've ever had. And the doctor looks at me with like this weird look, and he's like, I just want to let you know, thyroid cancer is really treatable. And I was like, what? Cancer? Like, what's this guy talking about? So I didn't think I was going to get the results. This was like on a Thursday maybe, and I didn't think I was going to get the results until Monday. And – oh, I need to probably get this. Hold on one second.
You went to your gynecologist.
Yes, yes. So I get this biopsy done, and I didn't think I was going to get the results till after the weekend. So I leave work the next day. It was like a Friday, and I come home, and I notice like my dad's car is parked at our house, which he doesn't get home from work that early. I'm like, this is odd. And I go into my house, and my parents are both sitting in our – we have a bar in our house. And they're sitting at the bar, and they're both holding drinks, and they just hand me one. And I'm like, this couldn't be good. Like, why is my dad home this early? And they're like, sit down. And they're like, the doctor called us, and it's, like, really advanced. And I'm like, what? Like, and I still, like, didn't even know what that meant. And they're like, you need to have your thyroid out, but then all will be good. Like, this is a very standard run-of-the-mill case. Basically, they just remove your thyroid. You have to go on medicine for the rest of your life, but that's it. Like, and then you'll be good. And I'm like, all right, fine. Like, and at no point – I'm not an emotional person, so at no point am I crying. And I could tell my mom was, like, hiding her emotions, whatever. My mom is a breast cancer survivor, so she knew kind of what I was about to go through. And a couple of weeks later, they scheduled for me to have my thyroid out, and that happened. I was in the hospital for a few days. It was really painful. And when I woke up out of surgery, the first thing I heard was my mom kind of like crying on the phone to the doctor that misdiagnosed me, saying like, she just got out of surgery and it's like spread everywhere in her neck because you let this go on for so long. She asked you 100 times to please check her and you did the wrong tests, and now like her cancer is very progressed. And so that kind of freaked me out, but I've never thought like, oh, I can't do this or oh, I'm going to die. Like I've never really thought, there's been times I've wanted to die because the pain is horrible or I'm nauseous or whatever, but I've never thought that this was going to be like life threatening. So I sort of went into it knowing that, which is why it was, you know, a little bit easier for me. But after that, they left me off all of, so you need your thyroid basically for like everyday life. Like that's like how you function. It's your metabolism, right. It's your energy levels, it's your, you know, it's your weight, it's different things. So since mine was so advanced, by the time they got it, I needed to do radiation therapy, which is like this radioactive pill they give you in the hospital. You're not allowed to be around people. You have to be in isolation for a couple weeks, and like you can't like pet your dogs. Yeah, like you're sweating out radiation. They come in hazmat suits. Like it's really crazy. You can't touch your iPhone. So they left me off of all my thyroid medicine prior to me doing the radiation therapy, thinking that if I was rid of all anything thyroid, I was very thyroid, that the radiation would take up better. And so in those few weeks of being off, first of all, I gained like 30 pounds in like 2 weeks because there's nothing you can do. Like you're just sitting there gaining weight. Also, like if I walked across my house, I would be in bed for 12 hours. Like I had no energy. And right. So, oh my God, I met this guy at this bar last night and he like found me on Instagram and like keeps messaging me. Okay. So, and he's also older than my dad. So, but I think he like owns a hedge fund. So, anyway, so I felt like shit and was going through these treatments, and then eventually they put me back on thyroid medicine, but it takes a good year or two for your body to really get used to the medication. So I just felt like shit for years. Like I was nauseous every day, I could hardly work, I could hardly do anything.
What a great time to go to Coachella.
And I in the middle of it went to Coachella. Because I wanted to be like, oh, I'm a normal person. Like this isn't happening to me, but in hindsight I probably shouldn't have gone. So you know, they would regularly test me to see, you know, what my thyroid function was at and do scans, full body scans to see. And they said to me, listen, this was so advanced. Oh, well, also I should mention, after my thyroid came out, I lost my voice. And I was a publicist at the time and I had to stop working because I would talk for maybe 5 minutes in the morning and then my voice would give out. And so I couldn't like work. And it had been about 3 months where my voice didn't come back. And they said, like, you had so much vocal cord damage that because the cancer was wrapped around my vocal cords. They said, like, we did so much damage to your vocal cords, it may never come back. And so, but one day I woke up and my voice just came back. It was fine. It's like really weird. But I thought I was ever going to talk again.
Yeah.
And so then they said to me, it's very likely that there's remnants of this cancer elsewhere in your neck, and eventually we may have to do other surgeries. So then about a year and a half after the first surgery, they found some cancerous lymph nodes in the side of my, in my neck. And I went back and forth between a bunch of different hospitals. They each one was kind of giving me a different diagnosis, different things to do. I had the maximum amount of radiation that they can give a human. So that's like maxed out for me. I can't, that's not an option for me to do anymore. So I'm always going to have to do something surgically. So they found a few cancerous lymph nodes and they actually like cut open my whole neck on the side. I'll show you a picture. We think it's funny sometimes like draw pictures on the scar was really bad. You can't see it now, but the scar was really bad at first, so we would like make it into a palm tree and whatever. And at the time I still like wasn't telling people what happened, really. Like if you asked, I would tell you. I just like wasn't, it was awkward. Like how do I, and it was at a time in my life, I was like 25, so it's like I would meet guys and they're like, what are you up to? And my phone would go off for 3 days because I'm in surgery, and they'd be like, why are you ignoring me? And I wouldn't want to be like, oh, by the way, like I have cancer. Like it was just so weird and such. Like either I would tell people from the beginning and they'd get freaked out, or I wouldn't tell them at all and then they'd get freaked out when they found out. Like they thought I was hiding things. Like it was just really weird. So I would tell people that my head got caught in a shark's mouth, which is why I have this like shark tattoo, which somebody thought was a pizza the other day, which is fine. Yeah. Either one is totally
right. It's a
fine.
Little bit basic to have like a pizza tattoo.
That's what I was like, you think I'm basic enough to Kirill. It was Kirill. Yeah. I thought I had a pizza tattoo. I was like, it's awful. But actually, it's funny. I got this like 6 months ago. My mom and my dad live at home. My parents just noticed like a week ago. All of a sudden, we're talking and she goes, looks at me and just stops, and I'm like, what are you looking at? Is there a bug on me? And she's like,
that pizza, what is tattoo. That
she's like, she thought it was diamond. She's like, I have a diamond. Yeah, I was like, it's not on my finger, like every girl. Like I was like, come on, it's a shark. Because when I woke up from surgery, they put a shark tooth around my neck. But so that happened, and that was even more painful than the first surgery. And I still have a lot of I had a lot of nerve damage from my face all the way down to my shoulder. They put me on certain medications now that like help with the nerve damage, but I couldn't even like put like a makeup brush on my face without being in excruciating pain. And it's like weird, like also too, like when I've like hooked up with people and they're like touch me, I'm like, oh, don't touch me.
Like, no, like, it's not you. Yeah, it's, yeah.
She
like,
has weird intimacy issues. Yeah,
yeah. You guys, my Walgreens earrings were ripped out of my ear by accident. Yes, I got these hoops at Walgreens. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go with this like look yet, so I'm trying it out. From Walgreens.
Right, right.
It's real progressive.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really that. And, you know, I get checked regularly. And finally, kind of like my medicine after 3 years has, like, leveled out and I feel okay. But I'll have to have another surgery. They've found a few other lymph nodes. Yeah, it is what it is. The lymph nodes that they found that are infected with cancer, like, they've been staying kind of the same size. So they may shrink with my medication. They may just always stay there. Luckily, it's a, you know, it's a slow growing cancer. And so, you know, I have time, but there's never like a right or a wrong. It's like either do it now and fuck up being in my 20s or do it after I have kids. And like, it's just, there's never a right time to do anything. So we'll see. But as of now, I'm pretty good. So
what does that first doctor say?
He stopped practicing.
Oh, is that
he
right?
He misdiagnosed a couple of people. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's not Dr. Miami?
No, although I would love to pay him a visit. I watch his Snapchats all the time, especially when I'm eating, when I'm like, I should stop eating this pizza, and I'll like watch Dr. Miami be like, that or Hoarders does the trick for me. I get, my appetite goes away.
We have to talk about your roommates in LA. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot.
So real quick,
that.
First time we met you,
mm-hmm. Oh,
we
I
were
was
like, let's go. You were new to LA.
Mental breakdown.
Yeah, like we knew each other from the internet. Right. And we had been talking, and then we were like, oh, we're finally going to meet Jenna in L.A.
Yeah.
And then...
You met me at the worst point of my life.
Let's go to the Grove and walk around for a little bit, grab
something
to eat.
Remember I saw that guy who I...
Yeah. Yeah, and so then Jenna started like speed walking through the Grove. Yeah.
We went as far up escalators as possible until we ran out, and then just went right back down. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw somebody I didn't want to run into, which is so weird. But
it's so you.
I run into people here on the street all the time. Last time I was in New York, when I was leaving, what was it? We went to lunch or something.
We did, yeah.
And I was leaving, and a girl I punched in the face college. Yeah, I ran right into her on the street.
Well, no. not like you ran into her the last time.
No, different. And she looked like she had seen a ghost, which I was pale at the time, but like it was really weird that stuff happens.
The best thing about that lunch was that your sister came, and
she doesn't talk. Clearly, we're from the same.
You
family.
Kept like you kept making fun of her about that throughout the whole meal. It was great. Yeah. So you moved out to LA for a little bit. And you took up with a couple of roommates, is that right? Or
yeah,
just
so
that one?
When I first moved out there, I was working for like a media company. And when I first moved out there, the company was paying for my like first month Airbnb. And so they booked it the day before or even like the day that I moved out there. And to get a month Airbnb in West Hollywood is last minute like that is really tough. So you're gonna have roommates.
Yeah.
So I had these two roommates, and they, one of the girls owned.
What would you say they did?
I'm not sure if it's legal. Well, I'll tell you the story of them. So the first day I get there, when you guys met me, I was a mess. I was a wreck. And the first day that I got to LA, they didn't have me check into my Airbnb until the second day, but I ended up staying up like 48 hours my first day because I was working. And there was like something that was coming out on TMZ that I was working on, so I ended up not sleeping. So I checked in and like I was a zombie. I just was like really out of it. And they were so nice. These two girls, they were a little bit younger than me. One of the girls, her mom owned the house, and the other girl was her best friend. One was blonde, one was a redhead. Hashtag redhead. And they were like, yeah, we met in church. And I was like, I am going to scare the shit out of these girls. Like, I am going to corrupt these girls. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to keep my conversations low because, like, they are nice church-going, like, from Ohio girls.
Yeah.
And by the end of the month... First of all, these girls used to chase around Justin Bieber. They'd find out he was at a nightclub, and they would come home, and they'd go out by themselves just to try to, like, get to his table. But they, by the end, ended up on this website, Seeking Arrangements, which, if you don't know what that is, it's for hookers, mm-hmm. or how do you explain it? It's sugar daddy. Yeah, yeah. You got a sugar daddy.
Right.
And which I feel like my real daddy would not appreciate. So I've never
Well, your daddy isn't a sugar daddy. That's
no,
the difference.
No, yeah. at all. Yeah. So anyway, these girls ended up on the website and they would like candidly tell me about their sugar daddy experience. Oh, yeah. I went to this guy's house and I had sex with him on his couch and he gave me $500 cash. And I was like, what? Like, you met in church. Like, he was such. And if you see pictures of these girls, they're both like actress slash models slash restaurant people. Like, yeah. They work in the restaurant industry. And so if you see pictures of them, they look like little 12-year-old girls. And so one of the girls, we were sharing photos, and she had red hair. Oh, actually, I have a really funny story. She now is like the queen of daytime talk show games. So she has been on The Price is Right. So one day, it was like right after I'd moved out, she knew I didn't have like a real job at the time because I had quit my job. And mm-hmm. she got tickets to the Ellen show. And they had said to her, we want you to play the game that Ellen does. Like, Ellen will sometimes do a game with the audience members. Well, like, spoiler alert, they're not real. Like, they pre-pick people. So they were like, bring your friend, tell her to wear pants, and you guys are going to play the game. Well, I go through this whole casting thing, and I just felt so out of place.
Did you wear pants?
I wore pants, but mm-hmm. I felt really out of place. And they come down to it, and they picked her, and they picked me, and I backed out last minute. I'm like, I can't do this. This is not how my 15 minutes is going to go. Falling on my ass on Ellen, like playing some weird spinny game for TV. And so she did it, and they picked somebody else, and she won, and like ended up having like the fastest time in Ellen history, and we're lugging out this massive TV. But now, flash forward like a year later, she's been on every single game show that's like on daytime TV. It's a real thing that people cast for in LA, which who knew?
She's still on specialarrangements.com though.
Seeking arrangements? I don't know. I mean, I don't talk to her like that.
Yeah, special arrangements sounds like edible arrangements.
Yeah, edible arrangements.
For special people. It's like the Special Olympics. That was mean. Okay. It's not mean, it's true.
Right.
So, so she posts like, oh, and then a few months after I moved back to Florida, she sends me a text and she had gotten her lips done. And I go, did you get your nose done? And she's like, and she's like, no, but like your lips were so beautiful. You inspired me. I wanted to look like you. And she got her lips done. I don't have my lips done. I just look like this. And she went and like has been getting her lips done, but has amazing Instagram content where she hashtags everything. Hashtag redhead. Well, hashtag redhead model.
Let's cut to the chase. Did she get with Justin Bieber?
No, that was her friend. That was the roommate. But she got with his like choreographer, which is just as good.
Yeah.
In LA, that's basically the same thing.
It's like Bieber, but like better Bieber.
Oh yeah. My
God. Yeah. Jenna, better Jenna.
Yeah.
Jenna, when are you gonna get a gig writing somewhere?
I know you guys have been pushing me to do
this. You should.
I feel like I'm just like too ADD at this point to like sit down and write anything. It has to like come naturally for me. I don't know.
We're not asking you to do math here.
After my TV show comes out, when you guys see, mm-hmm. maybe that will be my platform. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm hoping that I'm going to be like the next, what's that girl who was on The Bachelor?
The redhead.
No. Corinne.
Oh my God.
Corinne.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
This girl, she's from Miami. She was on The Bachelor, and she went on the show and immediately was like, I have a platinum vagina and he needs to have sex with me. And this was like date one. She made it pretty far to the end. And we have a lot of mutual friends. I don't know her specifically.
Experience with platinum vagina?
No, and she makes all of her merch has like platinum vagina on it. And she, this girl is
branding.
Like, yeah, she has like a million followers now on Instagram, and she
Jen Selter?
she like got really far on The Bachelor, and her thing was like that she was super aggressive. And so
honestly seems pretty aggressive.
No, it worked for her, and now she's making more money than I am, so
man, her
vagina.
Listen,
I don't know.
Her high school reunion is going to be pretty lit. So,
I know. Look for me on an upcoming Bravo show. Say what, but it is gonna be funny. I made like some really dumb jokes. Like there was like a point where he was like, "Hey, do you want to come back to my hotel and play pool?" And I was like, "I didn't bring my bathing suit." And like they lost it. They made me say that line like 8 times. I was like, "I didn't even make that up." But
do you think that they just like they? Their whole purpose is to make you feel, like, really, really good. Like, they're just, like...
No, I don't think that... Well, yeah, actually, they were all... Like, all the producers and everybody on the show is so nice. Like, texting me if I ever need anything, blah, blah, blah. And, like, obviously, like, they have to kind of woo me. I was a pain in the ass, like I said. Like, I made them work for my presence on the show because I was like, eh, I don't know if it's meant to be. And, like, I'll just not answer any of their calls. I won't sign any of the documents.
Yeah,
and
you are platinum.
Yeah, I mean. And so I was like, if I happen to make it on the show, then it's good for them. But, yeah, there might be, like, a Jenna Luckman and her mom spinoff.
Oh, my God.
That'd be so dope.
My mom. Awesome. First was like not down, and then I was like, they love you. She's like, oh, like her Kris Jenner face came on. Because she's always trying to set me up with people, and like always like, she's like, that doctor today was really cute. He's only been married twice. And I'm like, Mom, stop. I babysit his kids. Like, yeah. So she's like trying to really push me out. But yeah, she's pretty entertaining. So I don't know what the future of Jenna Luckman on television is going to be, but maybe this is maybe my thing.
Here's what we're going to do. When your attacker gets out of
jail. She's out. Oh, and
you guys reconnect.
Yeah.
And we'll call the show Jewish American Princess.
Oh. Oh my God. Wow.
Jenna, congratulations on everything, and thank you so much for coming up, and we'll see you again soon.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real Jeff. If people like this podcast, they want to hear a whole bunch more, like 117 other episodes, where can they go and find them?
You can always go to soundcloud.com/A Waste of Time. You can also go to iTunes and search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. We are also on Spotify and every other streaming service you can think of. We are on Instagram at It's the Real, Facebook at It's the Real, Twitter at It's the Real. We are also on Snapchat at It's the Real. And It's the Real Eric, because It's the Real was taken. And where else are we? We are
listen,
in the streets.
If you're fucking with Tumblr, if you're still on that Tumblr train, find us way in the back, the caboose, itsthereal.tumblr.com. Also, most importantly, youtube.com/itsthereal for that new Waco video. Go check that out. Press play. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think of it. Guys, we so appreciate you rocking with us week in and week out. We want more people to join us, have fun with us on a week-to-week basis, and we know that it starts here with us, so we like to tell a friend about the podcast. Jeff, who do you want to spread the word?
So everybody knows that I'm part of this group chat on Twitter.
Still going?
Still going. It has about 70 people in it.
Still.
Still.
So it's a closed chat. There's no one else invited in.
Nope, there's... Listen, people have been coming in and out. There's people like...
So it just stays steady? It's just like, you know, it's like a club, like one out, one in?
No. Like, so like Wyclef was in there
really?
Until people started making fun of him, and then,
you know,
he went out. Charlemagne was in there for
really?
A little bit, and then people were making fun of him, and then he left. But like, they don't say anything.
Can't handle it.
They don't say anything.
Can't
they just,
handle.
They just
can't
stay
handle.
And then leave. Post Malone.
Fire.
Post Malone actually joined in.
What'd he say?
Hey.
And then, did he leave?
He left in a little bit.
So you're not shouting out Wyclef or Charlemagne or Post Malone?
Not today.
Okay.
I want to shout out JIDK. I want to shout out Bread Fox. I want to shout out Lil Aaron, Big Biz, Lil B the Bass God, Big Noah. I want to shout out Mason, Ezra, who might be 16 or 60, Narco, Sab, Nas, Vince Barter, Porter, Becca. I want to shout out Jeff. Waka Flocka's in there.
Really?
Yeah, but he doesn't say anything.
Oh.
I want to shout out Ben the Jew. I want to shout out Steven Dakers.
Is his name Ben the Jew?
Well, he puts like the three parentheses around him because he's Jewish. Diana, obviously, our good friend Diana.
Mm-hmm.
Jovengo, Hallway.
Jovenga from the... Who came up here and like hung out?
Mm-hmm.
Jovengo.
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 Yeah, you make it sound like... You can sound like Bazinga.
Bazinga?
Yeah.
What's that?
The thing from Big Bang Theory.
Oh no. Jeff.
Narsh.
Bozenga? Jovenga?
Bazinga?
I'd like to shout out...
Ezra.
I'd like to shout out Camboy GW.
Oh, shit.
He's over there on SoundCloud. But here's the comment that he left. Another awesome guest with an awesome story, another banger of a podcast. I just listened to the first half of this on SoundCloud, the second half on Spotify, then came back to SoundCloud to comment on this bitch. That's shout-out worthy, and y'all know it. And you know what?
He's right.
He's right.
So shout-out to Camboy GW. Keep commenting. Keep listening on all the platforms. And don't forget, Teddy Bear Fresh, our debut album, comes out May 26th. Go pre-order it on iTunes right now. Now for real,
sure,
and we will see you guys next week. Brat! Support for A Waste of Time comes from the new Spotify original podcast, Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty. Produced by Gimlet Media and the Loudspeakers Network, Mogul details the illustrious hip-hop career of Chris Lighty and his rise to success before an unfortunate and untimely end. This is a story that's bigger than music. It's the story of the American dream. Follow and listen to Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty every week on Spotify.